In the continuation from the Sugya of Geirus from a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned several times in the context of Geirus that Beis Din is an absolute requirement for the purpose of Geirus. The Gemara derives from a series of psukim that a Geirushin is Gaib and Olivan Atzmo. A person converts by himself, not in the context of a kosher Beis Din, so the Geirus is Batel Mevutel. The person is not considered to be Jewish in HaTorah. So we spoke a little bit a couple of weeks ago about what exactly constitutes a Beis Din in terms of Beis Din Shesmuchin, a Beis Din Anshon Smuchin. At the end of the day, we still have Geirus as one of them. The Geirus is bonding in the Torah, either because you never really need a Beis Din of Smuchin, or because Abdati Dinam are representative of the Beis Din of Smuchin, or maybe it's not a Zain on the Smuchin, whatever the reason is. The bottom line is we do have Geirus, and of course the Geirus is acceptable in the Torah. However, the question that comes when we speak about the requirement of a Beis Din for a Geirus, the shaila really is, which part of Geirus has to be supervised by the Beis Din? We know there are many different parts of Geirus. There's the Mira, there's the Tefillah, the Kabbalah, the Mitzvahs. So when we speak about the requirement of Beis Din, which aspect of Geirus are we referring to? So much of this discussion revolves around a somewhat of a cryptic Gemara, which we'll probably spend the bulk of today trying to understand the different approaches in the Rishon to this Gemara. The Gemara tells us a story in Masechet Yevamos in the fourth parak, that there was a woman who apparently tried to convert, and there was some kind of a question about a Geirus, some kind of a pikpuk, something that had gone wrong with her initial Geirus. And for whatever reason, the woman, Afal Pichain, she got married, and she was observing the Shabbos, Kashrus, House of Mishpacha. And then several years later, the question was raised once again about the status of the Geirus, and was brought to the Amorim, and the Amorim responded that Nilo Tavol and Nidusa, that presumably what the Gemara means to say is that even though the original Geirus was in fact questionable, but since subsequently she's been Tavol in the Mikvah, she's been a firm woman, she's been observing the House of Mishpacha, so the fact that she goes to the Mikvah every month, that Tevil Hashem Nidus apparently can double, can serve in place of a Tevil Hashem Geirus. Because after all, for a woman, so there's nothing else. For a woman, the only Maisa Geirus is the Tevil of the Mikvah. The carbon doesn't apply to the Mamazah, so there's no Mila. So for the woman, who all she needs is the Maisa Tevil anyway, so what's the difference whether the Maisa Tevil was originally done with Hashem Geirus, or even the Maisa Tevil, the Hashem Tevilas Nida, would also be accepted. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. So the Gemara in and of itself is a tremendous chiddush, but the Gemara seems to be telling us that the tefillah need not be specifically for the purpose of Geirus. In order to need kavanas of tefillah Hashem Geirus, that in and of itself is something which is startling, but we're not even going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the second chiddush of the Gemara, that what happened to Beis Din. Obviously, when the woman goes to the mikvah, the Taras Taras of the Shpacha, there is no Beis Din present. So how do we accept the Geirus in the absence of a Beis Din? The Gemara says explicitly that Beis Din is not active in the Geirus. So all the Rishonim have to be bothered with this question. So Tosfos and Yevamos take the first attempt to solve this problem. So comes Tosfos and says, yes, it's true that Beis Din is necessary for Geirus. It's absolutely not active, even with the Evid, for Geirus. But says Tosfos, which aspect of Geirus requires a Beis Din? So if you think about it a little bit, it makes a lot of sense, says Tosfos, that the Kabbalah HaMitzvah should require a Beis Din. Because you have to Kabbalah HaMitzvah, that you need the questions and answers, and you need an analysis. You have to figure out, is the person sincere, is the person not sincere, so then you can understand why the Torah requires that's a Maisa Beis Din, that has to be supervised by a Beis Din. But the Tevilah itself, just going to the Mikvah, what are you a Beis Din for? Where do we ever find that the Halacha requires that a Tevilah requires a Beis Din? A woman goes to the Mikvah, so she doesn't need a Beis Din there. A woman goes to Taras and Mishpacha, so she needs one person just to be made that her hair went under. That one person could be a woman also. That's what we always do. The Mikvah lady watches to make sure the hair goes on, and that can never be sure and finished. So whoever, there should be a bit of a Beis Din when it comes to a Tevilah. Let's say a Moshe for a man, for the Mila, Mecha Tesa, a Bris Mila, Nuchum, or Bris has to take place in the presence of a Beis Din. Where do we ever find that these mitzvahs of Mila and Tevilah have to be done in the presence of a Beis Din? The only thing that makes any sense that should require a Beis Din is only the Kabbalah of mitzvahs. It says, Tosfos and Achirami, that's Tachat the Din. So when the Gemara says the Geretz of Shlosh, that means for the give and take of Kabbalah of mitzvahs, there's a din of Shlosh, there's a din of Beis Din Likvuda. But four other aspects of the Geirus, there really is no requirement of a Beis Din altogether. That's what the Gemara means. Mila Tavul and Yedusa, that the Tevilah needs itself need not be done in the presence of a Beis Din. Tosfos just concedes that even though it's true that Mi'ikra Adin, a Beis Din is not necessary for the Tevilah, Tosfos writes it clear for the Gemara that L'chatchila it is, because the Gemara goes out of its way to describe how we go about and totaling a woman. You have a woman who's coming to convert, so the Gemara says, gives you a whole eight how to do it, Derech Tznius, that the Beis Din shouldn't look right away, the woman should go under the water, she's up to her head, and the Beis Din looks, and they run out of the room, a whole complicated story. It was Yevamos, so it tells us why the complicated story, what's Beis Din doing there in the first place. So that's not, you see from here that even though Ne'ikra did, you don't need a Beis Din for the Tefillah, but that's the way Chacham envisioned that the Geirus should take place. L'chatchila, we should have a Geirus there for the entire procedure, from beginning to end. But push comes to shove, the Yevet, Le'ikul Gosh, it's only going to be Ne'akeh at the time of Kabbalah Samitzvah. This is the first approach of Tosfos. Then Tosfos suggests the second approach, and Tosfos says, no, that it could be that you really do require a Beis Din for the entire Ma'aseh Geirus, from A to Z. We never find that there's a requirement of a Beis Din for a Tevilah. My Indian Tevilah is needed until Tevilah's Geirus. Tevilah's Geirus is a special Geirusah Kosum. Mishpat Echad Yilachem L'Gerag Aritchem. So the Torah says that whatever constitutes the Ma'aseh Geirus requires a Beis Din for the Kabbalah Mitzvahs, for the Tevilah, maybe for the meal even for the man. A Beis Din, of course, has to be present from A to Z. So what do you do with the Gemara? How do you resolve the story in the Gemara? Milo Tavla and Midusa. It comes to us and says, Hachlum Ha'eskinan, there was a Beis Din there. Who are you joking with? There's a Beis Din inside the mikvah. It comes to us and says, we just have to revamp the definition of what means a Beis Din supervising something. So we think that whenever the halacha requires a Beis Din, it means that they don't have to be staring and looking, mamish, and seeing that the person is literally going under the water. That tells us what would the halacha be if the dayanim know for a fact that the woman is going under the water. They know it. How do they know it? They figured it out. The Ruach HaKodesh. How did they figure it out? The answer is very simple. They figured it out. They know this woman is from. They know that she's keeping time to Mishmah. They know that every month she's been going to Mikvah for the last 20 years. So that's what's called in halacha, Eidus Yediyah Velo Re'iyah. That means I know for 100% certainty that something is true, even though I didn't quite see it itself. So comes to us and says, that's also considered to be like a Beis Din there. So it's not pshat that you don't need a Beis Din for Tevilah. Of course you need a Beis Din for Tevilah, but you never needed a Beis Din Shel Re'iyah. You don't need a Beis Din to actually visually see the Tevilah. As long as the Beis Din knows that there's a Tevilah taking place, that's also acceptable. That's also considered to be a Beis Din present at the time of the Tevilah. Where the world, it tells us, come up with such an idea that sometimes the halacha doesn't require the actual observation of the act itself. How do you know that mere yediyah is also good enough? So the truth is that we already have precedent for that in the Gemara. As well as the sugi maseches gittin, and you have a situation that we know for a fact that a couple had bia together. We know for a fact that a couple had relations together, but nobody actually saw them in the room. Nobody saw them literally him being ba'aleha. So the Gemara says that could sometimes double as edus. Let's say we have all sugi hein ede yichud hein ede bia. The Gemara says when you have Eidos for Kiddushin, so we know the Eidim have to see the giving of the ring, they have to see the handing of the star, but when we use the mechanism of Kiddush Diyah, so the Eidim are not mamish in the room, the Eidim are outside. So how do they know that there was Diyah? So the answer is, the couple went in, they say they're going on the Shem Diyah, and that's understood, that's enough. So even though the Eidim didn't see the mamish, the Naisa Diyah, that's also considered to be Eidos for Davar. That's why, in fact, the halacha is that sometimes you have situations that arise where there may not have been a quote-unquote official Kiddushin, but if we know for a fact that this couple is having gil, a shame, a marriage, a shame Kiddushin, so that will be a serious problem. That may be real Kiddushin. That's part of the whole issue of secular marriage and other things, but it would be beyond the scope right now. But I hope that there clearly is a concept in halacha that sometimes you don't have to actually visualize something. If you know that something is true, that's also considered to be acceptable. That's the second approach of Tosfos. So there's a fundamental machlokes between the 2 days in Tosfos, how to solve this dilemma. Everybody agrees that the tevilah was acceptable. Everyone agrees that the woman is going to the mikvah l'shem nidos is considered to be a tevilah l'shem for the purposes of Geirus. The question is, how does that work? How does the mechanism work? What happens to the Beis Din? According to the first day in Tosfos, you never really needed the Beis Din there in the first place. According to the second day in Tosfos, you needed the Beis Din, but we have the Beis Din. The Beis Din is the island, the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish community knows that the couple is that the woman is being tevelas, that's considered to be a tevilah b'fnei Beis Din. First month, as long as we know. As long as we know for a fact, one time, we know the couple got married, they're from. So once the first month is passed, so we can assume that she went to the mikvah. The good luck was that, the good news is that the story happens 20 years later, so we can't tell at what point we make the statement that we know she went to the mikvah. Rav Moshe was Mephais in the second day in Tosfos before Rav Moshe's Tshuva, so those of you who would have known this Tosfos existed, the second day in Tosfos, the Yeshua Farshim in Tosfos. So Rav Moshe made this popular in his famous Tshuva about Chol of Yisrael, that the Mishnah says in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the second parak, that the Chachamim prohibited drinking milk from a non-Jew if you don't have Yisrael or Eil, unless there's a Jew who's actually watching the milking process. And the reason for this gezeirah was that if the non-Jew would mix in some trace of milk into the kosher milk, that would potentially trafe up the milk, because the Dabra Yeltsin and also is also, when you have milk that comes out of a trafe animal, so the milk is also trafe. So the Chachamim were afraid that even though the odds are it's probably kosher milk, it looks to us like cow's milk, most animals that are around are kosher animals that are producing milk, So that's what the Shach writes, that Minat Torah, even Bizman HaMishnah, when there really was a din of Chol Yisrael, so it wasn't the din deraisa, it wasn't the real chashash deraisa, that Minat Torah, you can rely on the fact that it most probably is cow's milk. It's probably very unlikely that there's cow's milk in there. Nevertheless, the Chacham instituted that we have to be cheshish for the meal, you have to be cheshish even for the once in a while, there may be a little bit of chazan milk in there. The Chacham Mesakein, the one is not permitted to drink milk, which was Ein Yisrael Ra'ehu. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, what does that term Yisrael Ra'ehu mean? So Rav Moshe claims, and he quotes this Tosfos as a source, he says, you see from this Tosfos and from other areas of Halacha, that the word Re'iya doesn't always mean that to see mamash with your eyes, that if a person knows something to be true, he has some kind of evidence, some external evidence, that he knows that a certain fact is true, so that's considered to be the halacha equivalent of actually seeing it. So seeing is believing. So not only seeing is believing, knowing is also believing. So Rav Moshe writes, if you have a situation where we know for a fact there's no pig's milk in here. How do we know there's no pig's milk in here? So he says, come the sugar, the guy's running a $10 billion dairy business. So he's milking cows and cows and cows and cows. The FDA is on top of him. The government expects him to come in all the time. So this guy is running the billion-dollar dairy industry. All of a sudden, he ran short on some milk. So he ran down the road to go to Farmer Joe's pig and to add a little bit of pig into the milk. So Moshe, it's ridiculous. Moshe, everybody knows that's not what's happening in America. So Moshe said, that's considered to be a yidia. There's no ria. There's no Jew with a long white beard standing there and watching the milk coming out of the cow. So Moshe says, you don't need it. I mean, you have better than that. Better the same, whatever it is. You have the halacha equivalent of Re'iyah through Yediyah. So Moshe says, how do I know that such a concept that Yediyah is the equivalent of Re'iyah? So Moshe writes, Tosha says, well, the Gavagirus, which is the Araisa. So Tosha says, the Gavagirus, the Araisa, you can tell the Gavachol of Yisrael also. That's what Moshe's famous breakthrough in terms of Chol of Yisrael. At the end of the tshuva, so Rav Moshe writes that, yeah, even though this is true, and Mikra, then I hold the Chol Yisrael doesn't apply in America, he writes, still, you know, I'm not the only place that Rav Moshe says, others disagree with me, so those who want to be Nachman, so it's Kedai to be Nachman, that's what he writes at the end of the tshuva. Then you have to figure out, so Lamaisa, what does that mean exactly? Did Rav Moshe, was he really advocating to be Nachman, was he just saying it? Well, yes, it's Ace, getting that's beyond the scope of the Gavir's part. But the main thrust of Rav Moshe, is that all milk is not as there. Up the Allah is called Chol Yisrael. A lot of people, like, they misquote Rav Moshe. They say, Rav Moshe held, you don't have to be Makbel Chol Yisrael. That's not a true statement. Everybody agrees you have to be Makbel Chol Yisrael. It's a din in the Mishnah. It's a takanas ha-tanoim. Everyone has to have Chol Yisrael. The only thing is, Rav Moshe just redefined Chol Yisrael. Rav Moshe just said that all milk in America, up the din is Chol Yisrael, because we're the Israelim, and we know, we're seeing the milking. Even though we're not seeing it with our eyes, we're seeing it with our knowledge. That's also called Chol Yisrael. So the correct presentation of Rav Moshe is, not that Rav Moshe crossed out the Mishnah. Of course the Mishnah exists. Of course there's a bit of Chol Yisrael. Rav Moshe just said, well, milk and path mark by definition is called Chol Yisrael, because it's not Re'iyas Yisrael, but it's Yediyas Yisrael. But anyway, putting aside the semantics of Rav Moshe's Shuvah, Rav Moshe was Mepharsin in this, he dug up this Tais in Yevamos, and he used it with Ma'isa.
How far do we take this call? Is there any time that you see something automatically seems
to believe in it? It means every time you know something, you have to really know it. If you really know it, it's a certain thing. You have to really, really know.
And that would carry over to other realms.
Sometimes, yeah. If you really, really know something, it's true.
But the Garris, it wouldn't take the statement of, let's say, Ms. Valetti knows she can't be an ape. But the statement of some sort would not be better than this idea, which you really don't know?
So would that also serve as idea? So according to the second day in Tosfos, they don't need a real Re'iyah, so then maybe that would also, maybe that would be good enough as Yediyah, maybe that would suffice as Yediyah, perhaps. Notwithstanding these two approaches to Tosfos, there are other Rishonim who have different approaches to this original question. So come a group of Rishonim, the Mordechai quotes, and says that, what do you mean there was no Beis Din? It's a starting point to the question, it's not a good question. We said the woman's going to the mikveh for the purpose of taras mishpacha. So we said, obviously there's no beis in there. There's no beis in there. We have a problem. We have to deal with it. First day in Tosfos. Second day in Tosfos. Says the Mordechai, what do you mean there's no beis in there? How many people have to be present to serve as a beis in? So we know beis. There's always three. First mission, Sanhedrin, Dinimam, and Bishlosha. Well, not so simple. Because the first two blad of Masechah Sanhedrin, Korah Machalik is about that. Is that really true? That Dinimam, and Bishlosha. Is it really always true that you require three dayanim? So the Gemara's Machalik is Amorim, Machalik is Abishal, not a paskin. What's the din in a Torah? How many dayanim are necessary with the rice and the paskin and shalav din imam? So one approach says three dayanim. Without three dayanim, so there's no such thing as a din Torah at all in a Torah without three dayanim. And other Amorim say, no, it's not true. They quote the pasuk, "B'tzedek tishpar amisecha." It's a lashon yochid. So it could be that sometimes in a Torah, at least, you could have even one dayan maybe accept it. For certainty, the Torah may be sufficient with one dayan. So come a group of Rishonim and Mordechai and say, we pass it like that. One dayan is sometimes good for dinim hamonos. If the whole halacha of geirus is derived from dinim hamonos, so just as one dayan is technically good in the Torah for dinim hamonos, perhaps one dayan is necessary for geirus as well. So when the Gemara says geirus or shlosha, so that could be maybe midirabana, maybe that's according to the other opinion, l'chatchim, or whatever it is, but it could be that push comes to shove, midiraisa, it could be that even one dayan, as long as he's not geirish and he's got to be no levin atzma. The person converts by himself, that's mamish nothing, but if he converts in front of even one person, so that would be acceptable. So comes the Mordechai and says, good, so there was one person present in the mikvah. You didn't have a basin of three rabban there, you had one person present in the mikvah, it's also good. So comes the Mordechai and asks, wait a second, who's the one person who's present in the mikvah? There are no men sitting in the mikvah. The only one person, as you said before, is the mikvah lady. So how could that be? Everybody knows that an isha's psula ladon, a woman cannot be acceptable as a dayan. So how do you know that that's true? So the Mordechai quotes it's the Mishnah Maseches Nida, because the Mishnah Maseches Nida says that anyone who's not acceptable to be an aid is not acceptable to be a dayan. We know that a woman cannot be an aid. That's a divapasha. Nobody had a question. That's a Mishnah in Maseches Shavuos, the first sugya in Shavuos Eidus, the fourth parable of Shavuos, quotes the pasuk in Chumash. So the Tarshim Alper says that Amdushneha Anoshim is not referring to the Balei Din, but rather it's referring to the Eidim. Amdushneha Anoshim. So the Gemara says that's how we know that Eidim have to stand when they give testimony. And Anoshim means Anoshim below Anoshim, that a woman does not accept a woman in Torah to be an aid. So that's a given. That was never a machloek. That was never a question. So comes the Mordechai and says, well, if we know that a woman can't be an aid, and the Mishnah says that if you can't be an aid, you can't be a dayan, so then you don't need that much higher math to put the two of them together, that a woman therefore cannot be a dayan. So the Mordechai says, how can anybody say that the tevila was done in the presence of the mikvah lady, and the mikvah lady is serving as the dayan echad, but she's a woman, so how could she serve as a dayan? So that's the tzorchi and gadol on this opinion. So what did these rishonim hold? These rishonim the Mordechai is quoting, they were clearly das yochids, but the Tosfos didn't even think of this answer. What did that one opinion the Mordechai hold? So the answer most probably is that one day the Mordechai held, then it's not true, that a woman is acceptable to be a dayan. Just because a woman is psula to be an aid, doesn't necessarily mean she's psula to be a dayan. Either Mishnah, neither. So Tosfos already in one place alludes to the fact that there may be a slightly different way to read that Mishnah. So Tosfos, in a few places, Tosfos in neither, says the Bava Kamma, even raises the question, are women kasheros to be dayanim? So Tosus points out that there is a pasuk in Novi that sounds that way. Bishoftas Yisrael be'Esahi. It sounds like Devorah was a dayanet. It sounds like she was a shafeta. She was judging Klal Yisrael. So Tosus explains most of the days in Tosus seem to say that no, that doesn't really mean it. Either it means that she was supervising, she was teaching them the halachas, or there was a special harasha, or the halacha is that if I come to I have a din Torah with you, and we both agree that we want to accept someone who's possible to be a dayan. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that two of us have a din Torah, and both of us trust my father to be one of the dayanim. So father obviously can't be a dayan under normal circumstances, but if both Bali didn't agree, so then Neman alai Abba, Neman alai Avicha, the Mishnah says in the third paragraph of Sanhedrin, that the Bali didn't agree, they can have whoever they want as dayanim. So Tosfos writes, if Devorah was the most qualified person, she knew Chashim Mishra better than everybody else, and the Balei Dinim were willing to accept her as a dayan, so then she's acceptable to be a dayan. So it's not that she's an acceptable dayan, not that she's a kosher dayan. She's psula ladun. A woman is not acceptable. The same way a woman is a psula ha'id, she's psula ladun. But if the Balei didn't agree, they can agree upon whatever they want. But in terms of being labeled as a dayan midaraisa for the purposes of geirus, so geirus, you need someone who's objectively a kosher dayan. So you can't say, well, the geir is going to accept upon himself, the woman should be a dayan. That doesn't make any sense. If the Torah declares that there are certain criteria that are necessary to be an objectively kosher dayan, and a woman doesn't meet those criteria, so then she would not be acceptable to serve as a dayan for the purposes of geirus. So this day in the Mordechai clearly didn't hold this way, like tells us. This day in the Mordechai held that a woman is mamish kshera, that midaraisa, she's midaraisa, midarabam, she's mamish kshera to be a dayan. So there was such an opinion that's alluded to by the Balei HaTosfos, and the stomach, that's what this day in the Mordechai held. But this is not accepted by Allah at all. Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote this. In Chesh Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote this as Yesh Omim. It didn't even make it onto the page in Shulchan Aruch. Nobody accepts this halacha, even though it was a das yachid. It was one mission held that way. One day in the Mordechai, Tachtum in Yevamos, that held that a woman is kshera to be a dayan, but the ma'aseh, nobody accepted this. So this is not part of a regular normative halacha. But I'll call upon him in terms of Asugya, in terms of the lumps of Asugya, this was a third approach to what was going on in that mikveh. How could it be that this woman is being tovelas, l'shem nidus, what happened to the Beis Din? So where the first day in Tosa said you never really needed a Beis Din for Tevila. The second day in Tosa says Yedias HaTzibur, Yedias Klal Yisrael is the equivalent of a Beis Din. The third day, and these Rishon, this as Yochanan in the Mordechai, is claiming, no, there was a Beis Din. The Beis Din was one person, and that one person could even be a woman, because that day in the Mordechai held that a woman is acceptable to be a Dayan. Comes the Rambam and seems to solve this problem in a totally different way. Comes to Rambam and writes that sometimes you have a situation where a person converts and there was some kind of a question about the validity of the Geirus, and then many years later we're trying to ascertain whether the Geirus was acceptable or not. So the Rambam writes, if we see the person is observing the mitzvahs properly, we see, for example, the person is going to the mikvah, the person is eating kosher, they're observing, they're keeping all the mitzvahs, kedasa chadin, says the Rambam, then we can assume that the Geirus was probably done correctly 20 years ago. What in the world is the Rambam talking about? The Rambam is learning pshat in this story totally different than all the other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim are assuming that when the Gemara says that there was a question on the Geirus, but it doesn't matter that there was a question on the Geirus 20 years ago, because after all, the woman's going to the mikvah now, so the going to the mikvah now for the Shem Nidos is the Tevilas Geirus. So forget about what happened 20 years ago. We're going to be machshir the Geirus based on the events of what are taking place in front of us. The Rambam says absolutely not. The Rambam says this Geirus is no good. This is not a good Tevilas Lashem Geirus. This is nothing. The Rambam writes, this is a hochocha. This is a proof that we had a piktum 20 years ago. It's not that we know the Geirus was no good 20 years ago. We don't really know. We're not sure what happened 20 years ago. We had a little bit of a suspicion that something was wrong. So mistama, everything went right. Mistama kobech shenasa. Now we're not sure what happened 20 years ago, but lamaisa, we see the woman's from. This is not a bogus. This is not a faker in front of us. This is a very sincere person. So mistama, this person did in fact have the proper Geirus 20 years ago. So according to the Rambam, the Gemara is not commenting at all on whether you need a Beis Din for Tevila or not. The Gemara is not even talking about using this Tevila in the Mikvah as the Tevila Shem Geirus. The Gemara is using this as a proof that there probably was a Kasher Geirus many years ago. So according to the Rambam, the last 20 minutes were not necessary because the question didn't get off the ground. So Lamaisa, how do we paskin about this whole Shaila? When all the dust settles, we need a Beis Din for Tevila, we don't need a Beis Din for Tevila. So in Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are quoted. The Shulchan Aruch is quoted that a Beis Din for Kabbalah and Mitzvahs for sure we need. That we're going to insist on. Do we really need a Beis Din for Tefillah? Push comes to shove, b'di'evet. What if l'maisa person did the Tefillah, shalom b'fnei Beis Din? Will we accept that Geirus or not? So even though one day in Tosa says yes, the other day is in Rishon say no, so we treated somebody as fake as a dina. So we are going to be machped in this. We're going to try very hard to make sure that a tevila itself is done in the presence of Beis Din. So therefore, l'maisa, both for tevila of men and for tevila of women, we go out of our way to make sure with certainty that the tevila is supervised properly, the tevila itself is supervised by the Beis Din. So where does this put us just practically in terms of tevila for men? It's no big deal. So the man goes to the mikvah, three rabbanim washing and finished. What about tevila for women? So now we have to go back to what the Gemara says, that you have to make sure to observe the guidelines of tevias properly. That we don't want to be makil and say that we're just going to rely on the fact that we know that she went to the mikvah. We want to see the tevila itself, because according to some Rishonim, that's quite serious. So therefore, most of the poskim say that the correct practice is that the dayanim should mamash be in the room, that they should be there literally and watch the tevila itself. You have to just observe tevias properly. So usually what they do is that the woman first goes under the water, the rabbanim are standing outside, the woman goes under the water and she's standing up to her neck in the water, and they usually put a sheet or a towel or something over her so that all you can see is her head. They ask a few questions. The minute is we do another kabbalah mitzvah, mamash in the mikvah itself. So yes, go quickly in the mikvah. You're going to keep Shabbos, kasher, tassim, mishpacha. Yes, good. So then we say to her, okay, go down. And then she goes down, and then as soon as her head goes down, so then the rabbanim run out the door. So they're certain that they saw that the entire tefillah was acceptable. So, yeah, they do that also. They do that also. You're supposed to do a kabbalah mitzvah mamish at the last second also. In mezayis and other shas ma'isa, the real kabbalah mitzvah, the thorough kabbalah mitzvah, is done beforehand. But then mamish is a chazara. Like a second before, you do a very very quick overview of kabbalah mitzvah, summarize what we spoke about earlier. There were some rabbanim who had issues with this practically about whether this is a good idea. Apparently, there was didn't happen in America. There was a certain Jewish community outside of America where apparently in some secular newspaper they got wind of the fact that the rabbanim were doing gairus like this, and they made a whole, one can imagine, that it led to a little bit of a chil Hashem. So some of the rabbanim thought that we have to make some kind of a tikkun in this area. So the suggestion was made that maybe the Rabbanim, the Beis Din doesn't have to stand literally in the room, maybe they can stand in the adjacent room and they can hear what they call the splash. There'll be a mikveh lady in with her to make sure the tefillah is being done properly, but the Rabbanim won't actually see it, they'll hear the tefillah. So that is a little bit of a throwback to that opinion of Tosfos, that as long as you know for a fact that the tefillah is taking place, maybe that's also good. Also combined with the first Dan Tosfos that maybe you don't even need Beis Din Likuva for a tefillah. So there was some Rabbanim who used to perform to Gerusim like that, and part of the reason was just to make sure that it shouldn't leave the Dechel Hashem, shouldn't be a violation of Tzidias. So Rabbi Shirai said, he doesn't think that it's really right, that we should really do the tefillah the proper way, the way it's described in the Gemara, and the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, that the Dayan should mamash be there, they should do their best to try to be Nizar in terms of the Inyanim of Tzidias. Remember, as I should say, Baruch Hashem, I haven't had too many opportunities to serve in the Beis Din of Gerus. It's not one of the things I'm running to do in my spare time. But one time that I was asked to sit in the Beis Din of Gerus, so it was one of the people that had to be Magar, several people, but one of the people that had to be Magar was a woman. And the Shaila came up how to go about doing it practically. So the tzak was that the standard way, the way the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch described it, that the Dayanu would come into the room as the woman's head is just exposed. And then the woman's head went under the water. So then the Rabbi was supervising the youngest of the three. The Rabbi was in charge of the Geiros. So he said, just make sure you got the same way the mikveh lady has to see every hair go under, else the tefillah is no good. You have to make sure that every hair goes in. You can't just say, okay, well, we saw the head start to go down and out the door. That's not called a re'iyah on the tefillah. You have to mamash see the tefillah properly. So we said, okay, let her head go under. As soon as you see the hairs under, out the door, mamash. Remember, give me a zazet, and I'll push the shazmi out the door. So then afterwards, what he did was, is that he said, you know, even though that was the ikra tevila, that was the ikra din, but he said he's always concerned that, you know, everyone's in a rush, when you're rushing to do things, everyone's nervous, so you make sure everything goes right. So he insisted that she does a second tevila with us standing outside. He did the splash, we should stand outside, that way she could do it calmly, and the mikvah could wash it carefully, and make sure, so just on its side, has to show him the first tevila, maybe some of the hair maybe didn't go under properly. So at least the yes is the ace, Nikra didn't have the other second to be as a backup. But he didn't want to just do the splash itself. He wanted to go the right way to it. As the Shulchan Aruch has the Ikra tefillah. The second one, just a little calmer, more relaxed tefillah. So as much as relaxed as it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. So it was Shabbos Chanukah, if I remember correctly. And the reason I remember is because after we were converted, the mother, then we had a Magai with the kids who had been born from this mother thinking that she was Jewish all along. So that was what we'll talk about this hopefully in weeks to come about the Ger Katan. But the reason why it sticks in my head that it was Shabbos Chanukah is because one of the children we had to convert, so he was very young and he was afraid of the water. So it took a little bit of coaxing to get him to go under the water. So one of the briberies that was given is that he was told he was going to get a tremendous Chanukah present that night. I don't know whether we got one or not, but at least we got him under the water.
If you have a question, whether a year was done properly, and now you have a married couple that are coming to be Miskaya properly, don't you have to have immediately afterwards a proper wedding ceremony?
Yeah. Yeah, so the question is immediately in the following sense. The halacha is that when a person converts, technically speaking, so let's say a woman converts, so she wasn't married, she converts, now she wants to get married tomorrow, so the Gemara says in Yivama she has to wait 90 days, she has to wait the days of Avchana, the same way that if a woman was divorced or was widowed, so she has to wait 90 days before she's permitted to marry, because you want to make sure who's potential, she's pregnant. So that din of Avchana applies for a woman who's converting as well. So when it comes to the din of Avchana, the Gemara says that the takana of Avchana was made across the board. It was machlokes in the Gemara, and the Rabbanan, who was made across the board, it was made below Pluk. Let's say we know for a fact that the woman is not pregnant. So the Gemara says that it doesn't matter. The halacha is that you have to wait a few yom. The Gemara has a lashon a few yom eliyov yomar that she's not pregnant. So you still have to be chayshesh that the low plug that she's not permitted to get married for 90 days. So there are many poskim who say that chumr of low plug is only made in the ikra din of Avchana. The original din of Avchana was said if it's a Jewish woman who are afraid that maybe she's pregnant from a previous marriage. If it's a non-Jewish woman who's converting, that was an extension of the din of Avchana. That's a lower level form of Avchana. And that din, according to many poskim, was never instituted below plug. That only applies if you're really concerned that she's pregnant. If you don't, if you're not sure, if you're pretty sure she's not pregnant, so then that secondary din of Avchana doesn't apply. That's how many poskim are knowing this man like that split la halacha. Therefore, what the poskim say to do is when you have a woman who converts and she wants to get married right away, either really right away or in the case she wants to have state of kedushin with the man, she would still require hafchana. So the poskim will make her that she doesn't have to wait 90 days, but she must take a pregnancy test. So that's what we do. We insist that she goes take the pregnancy test, and if it's negative, so then we assume that she's probably not pregnant. Therefore, she would be permitted to have city condition right away. So, that's what should be done. That there should be mitzvah condition right away. I remember at the time, so as we left the mikvah, so the rabbi was supervising that that geirah said to me that emphasis mikvah didn't really should be mitzvah condition them right now. It was 4 o'clock. We had to get on the Friday afternoon to go home and light chanukah candles. He thought we could wait till Motzei Shabbos. He felt that since we weren't even 100% sure, this is a geirah b'toras chumrah, that it wasn't that the woman was 100% not Jewish. She was 100% born not Jewish. That I can tell you. Belisha and Suffolk, she was born not Jewish. There was a pickbook of a Geirus that went. Before she got married, she quote-unquote converted. And so maybe the original Geirus was good. He thought that over Shabbos, they could stay together over Shabbos. Worry about it on Motzei Shabbos. So that was the psak that was given at the time.
Then there was if they would stay together, according to one day, they'd be living in sin.
Yeah. Okay, so we could rely on the Ramban. Everybody can rely on.
You're
knocking
on one side and
making
on the other side.
Yeah, but it was a little bit of an EF. It wasn't practical. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday for Masada Kedushin. But not like the Ramal. We said last week the Ramal was Masada Kedushin at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
And Friday night, but that far they weren't able to. I wasn't calling the shots on that day. So I was just... You never know when you put your name on a Gera, so that... The 3 day yom have to sign, so that ksav is going to be for the next 50 years. Any time they want to prove that they're Jewish, they're going to bring out, they're going to whip out that document. So one of the rabbanim who was involved told me that years later, someone was trying to prove, I don't know, maybe one of the people were getting married, one of the kids were getting married already. I don't know what this was from back over 20 years ago, this story. So they apparently the rabb was looking at the ksav geirus. So he recognized the rabbi was running the show, so he recognized his name. I think he knew who I was also, but he didn't know who the third person was. So we had a people of honor who the third rabbi was, and when they found that, he was also good. The third rabbi was also good, so the geirus was acceptable. You never know, you put your name on something like that, so it's barely all involved. They're going to find you, they'll track you down in 50 years from now. So up until now, we've been talking about pretty much standard geirus in terms of what the role of a basin is in a regular run-of-the-mill type of a geirus. There is a unique type of a geirus that takes place, we just alluded to before, that that basin takes on an entirely different role, and that's the beginning of the sugya of Ger Katan. So we'll begin the sugya a little bit ago, but I won't have a chance to finish it today. That's the famous sugya of Masechus Ksubos, Dafid Aleph and Aleph, about Ger Katan. A non-Jewish child comes to convert. How in the world is he coming to convert? Either he's coming willingly to convert, or his non-Jewish parents will bring him to convert, or he's being adopted, which is the most common scenario of his manazah. So what are the parameters of being Megayer, somebody who's under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah? So at first glance, I would say, how could he be Megayer somebody? He's a Lav Bar Das. He's a Lav Bar Das. What kind of game is this? You're Megayer somebody, they're not agreeing, they're not halakhically consenting. Even if the kid's 10 years old and they say yes, but still, they're Lav Bar Das and Halacha. So how in the world can you convert somebody under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah? So comes the Gemara and says, no. Amar Avuna, Yekotah, Medbilinus, Adas, Beizdin. The Gemara says that a Ger Katan, you can convert, it's not a problem. You can convert the person even under the age of Bar Mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, the Gemara says, of course you can. Everybody knows you can. Everybody knows you can. I never would have said that in a million years. So the Gemara says, no, it's Pasha that it works, based on the principle of Zochel Yadam Shelo Gafanav. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. We have a rule in Halacha that I can do something to somebody which is beneficial to them. So let's say I want to give you a gift. I want to give Reuben a gift, and Reuben is in China right now. So how am I going to give him a gift if he's not here? So I'll go to Shimon. I'll say, Shimon, listen, pick up the sefer, and be have in mind to be zeich on behalf of Reuven, and the halach is, since it's a chus to receive a matana usually, so when Shimon picks it up, the matana now belongs to Reuven. That's the din of Zachar, the Adam Shalom Bafonov. That's the din min HaTorah, the sugya in the beginning of the second part of Kedushin, derives from Sukkim, other Makaris, there is a halach of Zachar, the Adam Shalom Bafonov, it works here, right? So, and therefore, Geirus works based on that also. So, amazing concept. You have a little kid, it's a baby, it's a two-week-old baby, comes to us, and the person obviously can't express das, that he wants to convert. It doesn't matter. We will do the conversion on the behalf, because it's a schus, because it's beneficial, it's advantageous to be Jewish, and zochel yadam shelo b'fonos. That's all it says in the Gemara, that Ger Katan works. And the simple reading of the Gemara is, It's just an extension of the regular principle of Zoch Le'adam Shlo B'Tanya. So come over to Rishonim and say, wait a second, hold the phone. Is that true? This is a proper application of the rule of Zoch Le'adam Shlo B'Tanya, that the Ger Katan can be Nitzel Ayde Beisdin. The Beisdin is going to represent the Katan. They're going to do this chus for him. We have a major, major machlokes in Rishonim that this concept of Zoch Le'adam Shlo B'Tanya works for a Katan or not. So let's say I want to give a gift, not to Reuven, who's a bar mitzvah boy. I want to give a gift to Reuven, who's 5 years old. So can I give Shimon a gift and say, Shimon, I have in mind to be Zocha on behalf of Reuven? Can a gadol be Zocha on behalf of a katan? Is a katan in the ballpark? This whole halach of Zocha, the other shul of Fadav, is a katan shayach to that? Yesh tchil a katan, not? So the Gemara of Mitzi in the fifth parak says, yes, yesh tchil a katan. That there is a concept of Zocha even for a katan. The only problem is that half the Rishonim had one more word in the Gemara. There are a group of Rishonim who said that the fact that Lamaisa, I could give a gift to somebody on behalf of a katan, that's only a din midrabanan. That's a special takana sachamim that I can do that to make life easy for the katanim. I want to give the child a gift, he's not here. To make life easy for everybody, they instituted zechiyah midrabanan. But minat Torah, there's no such thing as zechiyah for a katan. How can you do something on behalf of a katan? Minat Torah, he's a nothing, he's a zero. The same way that a katan can't appoint a shliach minat Torah, the katan's not in the parsha of minu shlichah, so a katan can't have somebody do anything on their behalf, even I say zechiyah. So that's what half the Rishonim hold. And the other half of the Rishonim say, no, it's not true, that katan yesh no zechiyah, even midaraisa, they didn't have that one word in the Gemara, midarabanan. Comes Tosfos in Subas and Matzid Aleph and says, if you hold that Zechiyah Lekotan works min HaTorah, so I understand how this Geirus works. And the Geirus makes a lot of sense. Zoch Le'adam Shlo B'Tanya. It's a principle min HaTorah that works deraisa. The kid is Jewish min deraisa. Everything's home free. But if you hold that Zoch Le'adam Shlo B'Tanya for a Katan is only min derabanan, so then how does this Geirus get off the ground? How in the world can I go ahead and be Zoch on behalf of this child if on a level of deraisa, according to the Torah's definition of Zechiyah, it doesn't work for Katan. Katan's out of the parasha of Zechiyah. So how does the Geirus work? So Tosfos said, you're going to tell me an interesting idea. He's only Jewish midrabanan. What the concept is Jewish midrabanan? What does that mean? Obviously, you're Jewish. You're not Jewish. Midrash, you're not Jewish midrabanan. You are Jewish. It's a very strange idea. So what does it mean? How could it be? How could one possibly say that this child is going to become Jewish midaraisa if the whole concept of Zechiyah is only midrabanan for Katanim? So Tosfos leaves us a little bit hanging with that question. Tosfos doesn't really give us a real good beer how to solve that dilemma. So the Shach, in all places, in Hilchos Pidgin HaBen, in Shinhei and Yerodeha, so the Shach dug up a Rashi. The Rashi appears in Subas Nasid Aleph, where Rashi seems to give us the answer to this question. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that there's a difference between regular Zechiyah and Zechiyah Donai Dei Beisdin. Zechiyah, regular Zechiyah means that I give a present to Reuven on behalf of Shimon, and Zoch Le'adam Shlo B'Tanya, that works, either for a Golo for sure works, for a Katan maybe not, but there are Isis, Rabbanan, that's the regular din of Zechiyah. Then there's a second halach of Zechiyah that's called Zechiyah Yedei Beis Din, and the Gemara uses a different term for Zechiyah Yedei Beis, that's called apotropos. Apotropos means, sometimes you have, Nachman Lutzan, you have a situation, a person passes away and leaves a lot of little, you sign them, little orphans, and who's going to deal with them? Who's going to sell their property? Who's going to buy their property? Who's going to do business for them? Who's going to take care of their whole estate? So the Gemara derives from Sukkim that Beizin Amidlam Apotropos, that Beizin is required to set up an apotropos for them, to set up a guardian for them, a legal guardian, and that legal guardian has the authority to buy and sell. He has the authority to do things on their behalf. The Gemara derives from Sukkim in the end of Sefer Bamidbar that such a concept exists. But Sukkim say that when they divided up Eretz Israel, so Moshe Rabbeinu sets aside 12 different Nisim, that each Shevet had a Nasi at the end of Pashas Samasei, and their job was, they were in charge of dividing up the land. So the Gemara says, some of the people who entered Eretz Yisrael were Ketanim. Not everyone was over the age of a mitzvah. And some of them whose parents had died, they were under the age of a mitzvah. So who's buying and selling their property? Who's the buyer of their property? So the answer is, that was part of the Nesiim's job. The Nesiim were the Avim Shal Yisomim. They were the apotropos that Moshe Rabbeinu had set up. They were the legal guardians. So the Gemara says, you see from here that the Torah accepts this concept, this concept that the Imamunas called the legal guardian, called an apotropos. That's the Zechiyah Yedei Beisdin. So says the Shach, this concept of Zechiyah Yedei Beisdin doesn't only work in the realm of Mamunas, but works in the realm of Yisurim as well. So when we say that a Ger Katan Madbilon Oso, the Gemara says, Madbilon Oso Adas Beisdin. Where does Beisdin come into the picture? Says the Shach, the Beisdin are the only ones who have the authority to be Megayer a Ger Katan. I can't, as an individual, go and take a kid off the street and throw him into the mikvah. Who am I? Ein zechir l'katan. But if it comes to the auspices of a beis din, so you have three dayanim who are representing this child, that's a different story. That's the parasha about the trappers. That for sure works min haTorah. So usually the role of beis din at a geirus is very limited. Beis din, usually the person comes themselves to be megayer, and beis din is there. The Torah is beis din. Beis din has to supervise the milah, tefillah, kavas mitzvahs, whatever role of the geirus that the beis din is in charge of. When it comes to a ger katan, so beis din is taking on a second hat. Not only are beis din wearing the hats of a regular beis din of geirus, but beis din are representing the katan. Beis din are providing the das, they're providing the consent for the katan, because lulei the beis din, if half of the presence of the beis din, then this geirus wouldn't get off the ground, because this child is under the age of a mitzvah. That's a much, much different role. That's a much more significant role. So that's the parsha of ger katan. Ger katan is bilnas al das beis din, says the shach. That's the Torah of the trappers, the Torah is the legal guardian of the beis din. So others are a little bit concerned with the Shach, because the parasha of apotropos means that if you have Jewish children, so then we have an obligation to serve as apotropos to protect their interests. Where does it say that we serve as apotropos for non-Jewish children? The kid's not Jewish, so we're going to go take a non-Jewish child and we're going to become their apotropos. Who gave us that? Misam Chalish, Sarah Shofet Olam, who gave us the authority, the jurisdiction over the non-Jewish children? That's a little bit of a question on the Shach. But the Shach and Hukos Ben claims that that's the role, that's what's taking place here. That when Beis Din steps in, so they're serving B'Torah Sapatrapas. So we have really a few different approaches in the Rishonim how to defend this practice of Ger Kotlin. Everyone agrees it exists, the Gemara says the Seirish, that Ger Kotlin are B'Torah Sapatrapas Beis Din. The obvious question is, how can Beis Din do it? The kid's under Bar Mitzvah. So one approach in Rishonim is, Zechiyah, Zochel Adam Shalafana, like the simple reading of the Gemara. It works, and no question about it. It works with the Raisa, no Shiloh, nothing. It's based on simple Zechiyah. But if you don't accept Zechiyah for Kotam in a Torah, then you have to start going fishing for other reasons. How does it work? And Zechiyah for Kotam Zonim Midrabanan, then you have to really, really work hard to explain how this Gerus works. So one solution is the solution of the Shach, that it's talking about a Zechiyah, they based in the Torah of the Trappers, and that for sure works in a Torah. So we'll have to see also the next year. A totally different approach in Rishonim, which is going to have some serious enough communal idea.
Is that a conflict of interest in both the guardian and the basement at the
same time? Yeah, it's not really a conflict. It's two different interests. It's not a conflict of interest. You're serving two roles. You're wearing the basement, wearing two hats at the same time. So let's we'll have to see up in the coming shiurim about what are some of the ramifications of this. How does this play out? Lamais, it's some very, very serious shilas relating to adoption, relating to under what grounds can we adopt, what grounds can we be Micaiah children. What are some of the exceptions to this rule? We're all going to revolve around how to solve this original dilemma. How does the Gerus work in the first place? Okay, so we'll get to that. Mitzvah. So the next 2 weeks, Mitzvah, I won't be here, and hopefully in 3 weeks from now, so this year we'll continue.
Do you have a